I saw like a little bit of that video. I mean, we're talking like one car left the track.
Yeah,
right?
That was Tony Stewart. He
rolled over, huh?
Airborne, 25 cars, and
wow.
I don't know how much you know
good
about
gravy.
I don't know if you how much you know about NASCAR, but
they go around and around, and they go in counterclockwise directions.
When they're doing, they're in the last 12 races, and that's basically the race for the championship.
Oh, uh-huh.
And of the contenders, there are 12 racers in contention to win.
Oh, I see.
10 of the 12 were in that wreck.
Gosh.
Uh-oh. Well, that's...
It was pretty nuts.
Okay.
Did it look like a six-year-old had been out there at the track?
When I was a little kid, I'd take all my Hot Wheels and drop them and go, which one do I play with? There's cars everywhere.
Okay, but everybody's okay, pretty much?
Didn't see any major injuries and haven't seen any reports of it.
Okay.
Sort of my cousin would put him in my grandpa's shock vice and beat him with a hammer. So
a lot of people go just to see that kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They go for the wrecks.
That's what they want to see. They don't want anybody to get hurt. They just, yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. How many times did they reshow it? You know, that's what they ought to do an over and under on that. How many times did they do
sound
this?
Effects and music
yeah,
over
all
it?
All that stuff.
Slow motion.
Well, that'll come up. Yeah, I'm sure they did the slow mo almost right away. Right.
So within seconds.
Yeah.
Of it,
yeah.
And then they went to each individual car that you could see the car roll up on.
Did they have any that they had the camera in the car? Did they do any of those?
Like black box?
That's what I mean. Several.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
There were two that were in the center of the accident. One of which, when Tony Stewart's car, it didn't roll completely over.
Yeah.
But he's basically at a 90 degree from where it should be on the hood of the car that the camera's in.
Oh, cool. Okay. Wow. They didn't have any driver audio, right? Because
that might be bad.
They could get in trouble.
What is it, the old Bill Cosby? First you say it, then
you
do it?
That's right. That's the one. Yes, we've done that before. So anyway, there you go. All right, so let's see. Now, we've had these stories that it appears that Bill Powers, who's the president of the University of Texas at Austin, and Bowen Lofton, who's the president of Texas A&M University, don't want to share that pie, huh, when it comes to research dollars?
No, sir.
I guess so.
That's a shocker, isn't it?
Huh. Well, they're just saying the pie ought to be larger if we're going to be sharing it with more people.
Let's see.
Larger pie means more money, right? But we don't want to use the money word, right? So it's this, we need, if we're going to allow our younger brothers, our smaller brother universities to get in on this thing, then you're going to have to make the pie bigger because we're pretty much happy with the size. The chunk that we got on
yes.
our plate right now.
Well, see, I felt like I liked his, I mean, I like pie, so
yeah.
I liked his illustration.
Pie was a good...
I'm going to stand
okay.
up for
that
him.
Was a good parallel. Well, you know, the deal is, again, we only have three Tier 1 universities in the state of Texas, and you look at other states like the state of California where they've got, like, I don't know, two dozen.
And it's a gazillion dollars to go to college, so a bunch of kids from California come to school here.
Yeah, well, you know, because it's still not a gazillion. But, you know, and then we got a governor who wants to put together your $10,000 bachelor's degree.
I mean, I had a whole lot of friends from California at Baylor because it was significantly cheaper than going to a state school in California.
Well, aren't we, if this is the second largest state in U.S. America and we're anticipating more people showing up, and it being a good business environment, we need the right kind of education for those boys and girls who are here in Texas.
We
right?
just need more pie.
I don't really understand.
Let's get a bigger pie.
Maybe I'm just ignorant, but I don't really understand how Rick Perry is able to control, you know, if he's saying like, oh, all the schools have to have degrees for $10,000. Well,
okay.
This is not a, you know, that aren't schools technically free capital, like their own
Well, yes, but what he is trying to do is his idea is that what happened is they deregulated tuition, okay?
Right.
And when they did that, well, we thought the Board of Regents of the schools were going to be good boys and girls. Well, they weren't. And as a result, the tuition really, really, really went up. Now, that hurt a lot of kids for a lot of different reasons, some of them who would not be able to go to school now because they couldn't get loans or they couldn't get scholarships and mom and dad couldn't afford it. So they kind of get basically marginalized or squeezed out. But I mean, he is continuing to, and he was quiet for a while about it, but he's continued to say that universities keep their tuition set at this price that makes it very difficult for kids to get in. And
well, the governor can say anything he wants, but he has no real power over that.
That's what
he?
I meant. Like, how is he able? I mean, he can say an idea, but it doesn't mean he has any authority to control it.
Okay, I understand indirectly.
At least not as far as I know.
Directly, he doesn't. Legislatively, he doesn't. But understand, he's been governor for 14 years.
Yeah, he pulls the triggers.
He has appointed every member of every board in the state of Texas. I don't care if it's the electrician's licensing board or the barber college board or whatever. He's done them all, and that includes the Board of Regents. And now what he's doing is he's making this thrust toward the legislature to tie the 10% of state funding for universities to the outcomes so that the graduation totals in an effort will kind of incentivize them to get up the numbers to approach this $10,000.
So I have to say, I was surprised that you brought up this news story. I figured you would be all on the one about the woman slapping the 10-year-old who wouldn't give their ice cream to her 4-year-old child.
We're not done. The show's just started.
We got all kinds of time.
There's that one, and then there's the guy who decided to rob the same pharmacist twice, right? And he finally got his comeuppance, and he's in jail.
That's true.
I mean, again, when he saw the same pharmacist, did he decide that was a good thing to do or a bad thing? And obviously he went ahead and did that. But let's talk about what's really important, first of all.
The voice, right?
Yeah, no. Starbucks is suffering a shortage of pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh, great googly mooglies.
What will we do? Here it is. It's only, I mean, we're not even 10 days into October, and already there's a shortage.
They should be happy. They should be thrilled.
Well, no, because people will leave unhappy.
They should make more.
Well, they should, or they should charge more, maybe.
There you go.
The special syrup that is used
to... Don't give them extra ideas.
Yeah, to charge us more. Once again, remember, after the first three words, every word that you add when you order the drink costs you money.
We figured that out. If you're polite and say, good morning, clerk,
when you're ordering the coffee itself. In other words, if you just go ahead and order a black coffee... That's not going to cost you much, but it's when you start doing the latte, half cream delight, whatever, with sprinkles.
Mocha.
Yeah, I like the tall mocha frappuccino.
Yeah, see?
I get a chai tea latte.
That's almost too many words.
Or a children's hot chocolate.
Okay.
And at select Starbucks, if you take in your own mug, you get like 10 cents off.
Okay. You're at $13 now.
Yeah, really? Well, see, what's happened is this syrup that they use is going out of stock at company cafes across the country. So Starbucks spokespeople denied the widespread shortage of this magic pumpkin potion, if you will, but says some locations may be experiencing a pumpkin emergency due to infrequent deliveries. So be ready for that.
A pumpkin emergency.
Just remember you got that going. Now there's that, or we could talk about how Heineken is changing the design of their beer bottle.
I heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and it's interesting because, you know, it's distinctive. It's a little squat. I mean, it doesn't have the long neck. And Heineken has been in the United States for a long, long time. I was just reading this morning, like 3 days after probation ended, Heineken was already here. Okay. They landed, I mean, on the next boat. So they've been fairly iconic here. They did very well. They were number one as far as the imports were concerned until 1997.
And now it's what, Mexican beers?
Well, Corona took over in 1997, and all they've done is continue to expand that lead. And then you got craft beers. Now, for their part, Heineken increased their budget 50%, and apparently they've put branded glasses out in bars, you know, so they say Heineken on them.
Right.
And, of course, you have to put Heineken in it or it'll explode or something. But they're trying to do this to elevate their brand, and the problem is that they're not picking up any younger drinkers. And so they've decided to change their look to be kind of more like everybody else's beer brand.
How young of drinkers are you talking
Scott? We're talking 21. We're talking that. But the deal is apparently all the statistics skew toward older people drinking Heineken. And again, it's got a distinctive bottle, but if it doesn't sell more beer, they don't care.
See, that was a rich guy's beer when I was growing up.
Right, so. And it's still somewhat pricey, but not as much as others. I mean, others can be far, far more expensive.
True.
But they say that overall beer is losing, I love this, losing its throat share. That's what they call it. It's the throat share. because people are drinking hard liquor or they're drinking wine, and well, they're not drinking beer.
They can advertise hard liquor now, so they're running into competition.
Sure.
Well, part of that might be nobody goes around saying, oh, you got a liquor belly. Oh, you got a wine belly. But, you know, if you say, oh, yeah, that guy's got a massive beer belly hanging over his pants. You know, it just doesn't sound very sexy.
Well, that's a bad PR move from the beer industry, isn't it? They need to come up with something else. You know, like it's a hops farm or something. Anyway, but, you know, Bud Light came out with this blue cobalt glass, a bottle, you know, and that people think that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then Coors Light has got this beer bottle that apparently the label changes color when the beer gets cold.
Yes, it does.
And the mountains show up or something like that?
The mountains turn blue.
Okay, the mountains turn blue.
That's a lot of details to end up in a landfill.
When it's at 34 degrees, there's like a temperature setting where it's at 34 degrees, they turn blue and you know it's ready to drink.
Oh, okay. Oh, excuse me, it's ready to drink. It's ready to drink when you've got it in your hand, but nonetheless, so we'll see how this works out. We'll see if the changing of the beer, and of course, it doesn't mean there's more beer in there, okay? It's still the same size. You're not getting any more beer just because it's got a longer neck on it, but nonetheless. And next half hour, two things. Next half hour, the humble tomato battles over having tomato fights now, which is pretty interesting.
Number two,
we're going to give you an opportunity to take a test. You don't have to do it while you're driving to work, but it's something that you can do at your desk today when the boss isn't around.
Oh, gosh.
No.
I don't promote it. I just want to say that out
okay,
there.
Okay, all right, you're out front. Okay.
Do it on your lunch break.
But what it is that you can find out if you are as good with names and faces as the average U.S. American. Or you may be better than that.
Oh, that's easy. I'm not.
Okay, well, but, you know, get a chance to test it, then you can see exactly how you rank. And third, one more way that Google is about to get in your pocket.